Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens, and today is going to be episode 17, where I'm posing a question about art and the artist and the line that we draw between those two things. And I feel it's a bit of a relevant issue right now because it seems that every time I turn around on social media, there's some kind of new allegation that's being made towards a person of influence or somebody in the political realm, somebody in the entertainment realm, somebody in journalism. I mean, it just seems like no one is safe if you are in the mass media's eye. And if we've learned anything over the past few weeks, months even, it's that the world of the internet is a very cruel place. And opinions abound, and people weigh in on what they think is good, what they think is right, what they think is wrong, and how we ought to deal with people who get out of line in the public eye. All you have to do, I think, is read any major article, political or otherwise, and find a multitude of different opinions as far as how people want to deal with the morally corrupt. But since this is a creative podcast, and I wanted to focus specifically on entertainers and writers, I wanted to talk about that very question that I kicked off with, which is basically, is it still okay to be someone that likes the artwork or the films that are produced or the books that are published by a particular person, even after they've fallen from grace in the public eye? Is it okay to do that? And I've seen a lot of my friends on social media asking the same question. I've seen their friends weigh in on what they think is good or bad. And it just brings up a lot of examples. I mean, I think Kevin Spacey is one of the most recent ones in Hollywood, who's been hit with some serious, you know, sexual harassment allegations. And it's not to say that it started with him. I think the originator really in all this was Harvey Weinstein earlier in the year, I think end of summer, early fall. It seems like forever ago, considering all the people that have come out since then. The Matt Lauers and the Bill Cosbys of yesterday. Cosby's actually looking pretty good now, considering everything that's been going on. Not that he's any better than anybody else based upon all the crimes that have been called out against him. But it really does, I think, make us reassess, the image that this person has, or, you know, the person in general. I mean, because Cosby, if I just use Cosby real quick and as an example, Cosby was a guy who was considered to be a family man. I mean, his show, The Cosby Show, was about family values, from what I understand, what I remember being a kid anyway. And his stand-up comedy was also based around his family. And he was always known as being a very clean comic. You know, he wasn't someone that got up there and was very vulgar. You know, a lot of his comedy was supposed to have sort of this moral high ground. And then to find out that, he's dropping, a Quaalude in someone's drink and luring a woman back to his apartment or, suite or wherever it is. It really does leave a sour taste in your mouth, and you go, can I even watch his stuff anymore without thinking about this? It's obviously a very serious topic. It's a very sensitive topic, but where do we go from there? So I did a little perusing around the internet to see what other people were saying, and I came across a video that was done by a journalist and a writer, a gentleman by the name of Andrew Klavan, who is someone I've discovered on social media as of recently, and he has a bit of a history in terms of writing fiction, and just listening to his testimony of where he came to being the type of person that wanted to write fiction when he woke up in the morning, I really relate to this guy, okay? I can really relate to this guy, how he really has this passion for writing stories and sharing them with people and inspiring them and all kinds of good stuff. He had like a quick 5-minute video where he was talking about this very question of separating what people do from what they produce in terms of art and how they contribute to culture and society. And he made some really interesting points, but the one that he made that really resonated with me was he said that once we create something, once we have built an art, or say we're a singer and we write a song and it's now out among the masses to interpret, that is out and separate from us now. It may be a little bit of a window into who we are, but it actually is now separate and is now given up to everyone. So it stands on its own. It's not just the person anymore. It's this thing that this person has made, and it can take many forms, as you know, depending upon who is listening to it or whatever. Again, I'm just using a song as an example. And I thought that was really good. I thought that was a good summation of really this whole situation. You know, like how are we supposed to deal with the fact that a lot of the people that we maybe, I hate to use the term, look up to in entertainment or in literature or wherever it may be, those people that have inspired us, and we see that, ooh, you know, they're not exactly the perfect angels that we may have made them out to be. Which, you know, surprise, surprise, I guess nothing should surprise us anymore. But I wanted to at least give a few comments to that, because I do believe with what I do agree with what Klavan had said in his short video. But I think the reason also why I agree with it is because, number one, art tends to outlast the artists themselves. So there is this transcendent quality where if I produce something and it happens to resonate with a bunch of people, and then it sticks around, and the next generation still thinks it's good, and then the next generation still thinks it's good. Well, obviously, we're all finite people. That's a given, and we're all going to pass away someday. Sorry, spoiler alert. But basically, to know that your art can continue on, I think is something that a lot of creative folks kind of cling to, and they say, well, this is really what I want for me. You know, I want to be able to give something away that's going to have a legacy that people years from now will be able to pick up out of a time capsule and go, wow, you know, that's really something. And I think that's a very, you know, obviously selfish dream in a way, to want our names to be remembered throughout history. But I think any creative person, any writer really kind of wrestles with this internally. I think you should. I don't know. I mean, I definitely wrestle with the concept myself. But I just think of a lot of, you know, folks who have been so instrumental in art and in writing over the years. I mean, as far as, you know, like painter Vincent van Gogh, you know, Picasso, composer Mozart, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein. I mean, all of these people have been influential even by today's standards. And, you know, many of them have been gone for years, for decades, and they're still carrying on. So the fact that someone can make something and have it last as long as people still think it's interesting, again, I agree with Klavan in that regard. And the second thing I wanted to mention is the fact that, just as he was saying, you know, art, it really is an extension of the person, but it may not be the person themselves. So many times when I write stories, you know, me personally, I wrote a short story called The Scientist Dilemma. A few years back, and it really was kind of a transition piece, even though I didn't realize it at the time. I was moving from satire to writing fiction, and I wrote about this guy who just wanted to make the greatest discovery of all time, and it was his dilemma, you know, the scientist's dilemma. He's this astronomer. He wanted to find something spectacular out in the universe, and he'd be the greatest, you know, scientific mind of all time. And I wrote this realizing that this was really a reflection of me and my own writing and my desire to be of influence. And I'm writing this character, and yes, it's therapeutic and all those other good things, but this was really an extension of me. You know, this was me kind of, you know, vicariously living through this fantasy that I actually don't really want to come true. You know, I wouldn't want to be that guy who's constantly chasing after this really unreasonable expectation and eventually get his spirit crushed. And you know, again, I won't give away how I end the story, but it's a short story. But regardless of, though, many times these kinds of things that we do are extensions of ourselves. You know, they're not meant to be us necessarily completely. I mean, guys like Ernest Hemingway might have wrote characters that were just him, okay, because the guy had a very lavish lifestyle. So many of his characters are exactly the way that he was. So he was living vicariously through himself, as the Dos Equis guy might be doing. But when I think about just any character I make, yes, they're a part of me, but I'm also kind of living through them in a way that I would never be able to in my own waking life. So it's not just me. It might be something I aspire to as well. So a lot of times we create characters or these ideals, and they're almost like an idol of ours off in the distance, that's my ideal person. You know, that's my ideal character that I would love to maybe one day do the things that they do and make the decisions that they make and be the leader that they are in my own story. So I definitely think that there's a lot to be said for that, as far as the art being an extension of oneself and not being the person themselves. So again, I know this is a really touchy subject in many ways, and I know people are going to have differing opinions on it. I'm curious to hear what the rest of social media and my listeners would be thinking about it. But I felt really convicted as of late to share that, because it's been on my mind, it's been on my heart, I'm always assessing what my own legacy will be like. You know, how are people going to receive my work, and how are they going to look at my personal life, especially in today's day and age? I mean, I'm 33, but I know a lot of my life has been recorded on the internet with Facebook and MySpace and, you know, Twitter and Instagram and everything else like that. So just being cognizant of what's out there as I, you know, continue to grow as a writer who uses the internet. So with that being said, but I did want to just leave with one final thought. And that was, by no means, if we are in the place where we make this decision that, yes, I'm still going to read the books of people that I may not agree with morally, it does not excuse the behavior of the person, okay? We may love the work that they've done. We may appreciate the films they've created. We may really adore the stories that they've written. But again, it doesn't excuse the person that has made it from the consequences of whatever it is that they may have done. So I also want to make that just kind of my last point in all this, as far as separating art from the artist. You know, it doesn't excuse them from what they do in their personal life, even though they may be trying to aspire to something in their own artwork, whatever it is that they're doing. So with that being said, and everything, thanks for listening, guys, on this rather short episode today for the Writer's Lens. And I'll catch up with you guys again soon.